Our speaker this morning comes from Bangalore, India. Anybody been there? Not I. But it's down south, like we're down south, only it's a different continent, a whole other part of the world. A little write-up on the website of Source of Light says that Hemanth Peter became the director in 2007. He pastors a local church in Bangalore and conducts the Source of Light ministry from the church. Reverend Peter distributes the Source of Light Bible lessons in Kannada and English, and has seen a great growth of ministry since the beginning of 2009. Many local pastors are very interested in the literature, and many new associate discipleship schools have been established. I know the Peters family from before 2007 because I knew Solomon and Ruth Peter. Hemanth's mother and father loved the Lord, served the Lord till the Lord took them home. What a testimony. What a heritage. Brother, it's a joy to have you come and speak. Share the word that God's given you. And the time is yours without end. All right? You never know when you're going to get to start here. So you can go as long as you need to go.
Thank you for the last statement. I can go as long as I want. But praise God for this wonderful morning that God has blessed us with. I was blessed to be here in the Sunday school and to see even smaller children, young people in this church. I was really excited. It's very exciting to see godly families come with their children. You know, do you know that we homeschooled our three children from Pensacola Christian College, Abeka lessons. And I come home from the office and I'll see Asha, who was their teacher of all grades. And then she would have just finished teaching them. And then she starts reading one of your books and starts crying. Because, you know, she says, you know, America was beautiful, holy, godly, revered the scriptures. And so now when she sees the scene, as I go back and report, and of course we can know what is happening, we are crying, but we are praying for your nation. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for inviting me here this morning. I want to thank the church, the leadership of the church, all the people here. And I want to bring greetings from my family, Asha and I, the children. And I want to bring greetings also from our church and the Source of Light Ministries and the Tabernacle team. Okay, the main ministry thrust would be the Tabernacle. And let me just summarize and say this much, that in all the three sides of the Tabernacle, till date, more than 32,000 people have visited the Tabernacle. And close to 7,000 people have been saved according to their writing in our books. And now we have the duty to go back and revisit them and then go back and teach them the word of God and disciple them. Kindly pray with us as we would want to see as many, many firebrands for the Lord in India. We want to see revolution of Christian people in India. It's a tough country to be in. But also I realize that you are living in a tough country also. Persecution is coming one way or the other. It may not be immediately physical, but you know that mindset, people send their ideologies into this country. How do you fight an idea? Yeah, with the word of God, with God's idea. Anyway, I want to thank God for this morning. Thank God for giving me the opportunity to share from God's word. I want to begin with a question. Who do you think is the first missionary in the Bible? The very first missionary in the Bible. Okay? God himself. Because in Genesis chapter 3, when we see verse 9 and 10, that God came looking for the fallen man. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. God took the initiative of reaching out to lost people. And that's wonderful. That's kindergarten stuff for you people. That's real kindergarten stuff. But the blessing that I see in that portion of scripture is that when God called out Adam, "Adam, where are you? Where art thou?" And what Adam said is grace. He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden." Fallen man can hear the voice of God is grace. Fallen man can hear the voice of God is grace, dear people. For all of us. For all of us. I was born in a Christian family, but I was not a Christian. I was not a Christian. Anything but Christian. Anything but a believer. I was a PK, a pastor's kid. All right. I was an MK because he was a missionary too. But, you know, my father's name is Solomon Peter. Solomon of the Old Testament, a hero of the Old Testament, and Peter, a hero of the New Testament. But I was born a zero in their family. I was born in sin until the Lord touched my life. I was baptized, and then it's an adventure with the Lord. Married in 1987. Praise God. And then we have three children. Okay. We have had our ups and downs. But praise God for, you know, He helping us in every way. This morning, I want to share something. The title of my message is The Seeking God. The Seeking God. So in Genesis chapter 3, we have already seen that He came out looking for Adam and Eve. I lovingly call them Adam and Madam. Okay? So these guys messed up real bad, and still the Lord came looking for them. How much ever we are messed up, He's still coming to our garden looking where we are. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. In India, we have 330 million gods and goddesses. Various religions, various languages. Close to 2,000 languages and dialects. If I said John 3:16 in my language, can I do that? John 3:16 in my language? Okay. Listen carefully, then we'll have to repeat it. ದೇವರು ಲೋಕದ ಮೇಲೆ ಎಷ್ಟೋ ಪ್ರೀತಿಯನ್ನಿಟ್ಟು ತನ್ನ ಒಬ್ಬನೇ ಮಗನನ್ನು ಕೊಟ್ಟನು, ಆತನನ್ನು ನಂಬುವ ಒಬ್ಬನಾದರೂ ನಾಶವಾಗದೆ ಎಲ್ಲರೂ ನಿತ್ಯ ಜೀವವನ್ನು ಪಡೆಯಬೇಕೆಂದು ಆತನನ್ನು ಕೊಟ್ಟನು. ದಟ್ಸ್ ರೈಟ್. ನೋ, ವಿ ಕಾಂಟ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ಐ ನೀಡ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಇನ್ ಮೈ ಕಂಟ್ರಿ, ಯು ನೀಡ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಇನ್ ಯೋರ್ ಕಂಟ್ರಿ, ಇನ್ ಯೋರ್ ಕಾರ್ನರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಯೋರ್ ಏರಿಯಾ ಆಸ್ ಅ ವಿಟ್ನೆಸ್. ಯು ಆರ್, ಬಟ್ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಗ್ರೋ ಬೆಟರ್. ಪ್ರೇಸ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ನೋ, ಐ ವಾಂಟ್ ಯು ಟು ಟರ್ನ್ ಟು ದ ಪೋರ್ಷನ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ just read, as Brother Darrell read this morning in John chapter 4. You know the story of the meeting of the Savior and the sinner. Okay? And this Jew, when I said this Jew, he was the only Jew who was a perfect Jew. Okay? He would, you know, the Jewish people never walked across Samaria. They never had any affinity to the Samaritans. They looked down upon them as dogs and outcasts. And here comes the boss. And here comes Jesus. Here comes the Lord Himself walking through Samaria and comes to Sychar and comes to a well in Sychar and speaks to a woman in that place. That means He's zeroing in on that one person. He's zeroing in on that one person. He had in his mind that this lady would come because he's omniscient. He knows everything. And John chapter 2 and the last two verses says he never, you know, he knew all men. He need not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Absolutely. So when the woman came, the conversation started over a cup of water. And then, you know, it all kind of escalated to such a crescendo, as you call. Then, you know, the Lord begins to speak of worship to this lady. When I say this woman, when we call, had some lifestyle. She had five husbands, and the one which she was living was a live-in relationship. She says, "No, he's not your husband." And so Jesus comes to the down and outcasts, to the problem people, you know, people who are facing difficulties where they cannot solve themselves. And that was me. That was all of us in one way or the other. In one way or the other. It may not be the exact situation, but we have been stuck. But the Lord Jesus comes along and then begins the conversation. As much as he initiated the call in the garden, he initiates the discussion. Give me some water. Nobody's there. Fantastic. I can see a fantastic programming of God. The computer programming of God. The timing of God. When they come here, the disciples exit to go find food in Sychar and entry the woman. God makes it possible so that, you know, there'll be a conducive time where we can be alone and when we can call on to this God. And so she comes along and says, you know, discussion begins, and then, you know, so many things happen. So many discussions are there. I do not want to zero in on many things, but one point I want to say is God was looking for a worshiper in Sychar. True worshiper. Not just worship, not just music. What comes to your mind if I said worship? Music could be one that comes to today's world as far as worship is concerned. The hard rock worship, as we call, the nonsense that is going on, I could say boldly standing here as much as I stand and declare this even in my country. Just music. 2 hours of music, 10-minute word, and a word of prayer. That leads people nowhere. They go back as they came. I'm not against any people. I'm not against any denomination. But I'm saying Jesus is walking in this church looking for true worshipers. True worshipers. They that worship him must worship him. Must. That word must, may, is an option. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why, you know, we have the Holy Spirit of God enabling us to call on him as Abba, Father. In spirit and in the truth of God's word. How? Because, you know, Jesus says to her, we know what we worship. You do not know what you worship. So this morning, Jesus is being let loose here, looking for true worshipers. Has he found me? Question. Right? Has he found me? I want to raise my hand and say, Lord, take me as a true worshiper. I want to be a true worshiper. I'll decide to be a true worshiper. To worship is not just singing. Worship is not just reading the Bible. Worship is being is soaked in the presence of God, not mystically, but actually in the presence of God according to the Bible. I'm reminded of Moses on the mountain in chapter 24 of the book of Exodus. Of course, he was there for 40 days. But let me tell you, 7 days, as we see, is a very important thing. 6 days, there was nothing. Silence. Absolute silence. The Mount Sinai was lit up in the, with the presence of God, the fire and the lightning and all that thing, the demonstration of God's outside demonstration for people to rever this Yahweh God. There was this demonstration. There was this fantastic display of God's glory. And Moses got into this glory. He was not singing. He was not strumming a guitar. He was not doing nothing. He was just soaking in God's presence. So being in His presence, asking for His presence is very vital for me as I worship this morning in the facility that, you know, we have in Mailbox Club. I was worshiping. Lord, I'm not the only one. You people are worshiping. I'm not coming from India and telling that you people are not worshiping. I said, He's looking. Jesus is looking. Has He found me? If yes, fantastic. Fantastic. I'm reminded of, as we talk about worship, I'm reminded of John's Gospel chapter 12, where, you know, Lazarus has been raised in the previous chapter, and they're, you know, having a banquet for, or at least a supper for Jesus. In His honor, because He, you know, He has given us a blessing, the dead has been raised. And, you know, in His honor, there is, you know, the three parties are mentioned. Martha is cooking and, you know, Lazarus is at the table and Mary is doing something very special. She takes that alabaster box of spikenard, a very costly ointment, breaks it and applies it to the feet of Jesus and wipes with her hair. And the next statement it says, and the aroma or the smell or the fragrance filled the house. Why this is important for me? Because children have their own spaces. Have you know that? They have their own rooms. First floor, second floor, maybe some third floor. You know, they have their own rooms. They want their space. But you know, for my worship, my wife and I, when we kneel down and worship, this aroma of worship must spread to our children's rooms and children's places so that all can come together and say, what's happening here? What's happening here? I wish I could have that every day. I don't claim that happens every day in our family life, but we do worship every day, but doesn't happen like, you know, they will come and then they'll start joining with us for worship. Today we have this problem. We have, you know, our space. I don't bring this phone without a reason, because, you know, this one has taken a lot of place in our life. Lot of place in our life. I don't say it is bad. I never said. It gave us directions to come here. I don't say it's bad. In comparison to worship, in comparison to meeting God, this would be a disturbance. It'll ring in the morning and never stop ringing. Texting. Don't drink and drive was a word before. Don't text and drive is now. That's right. So what I'm saying, dear people, is I'm just requesting in the name of Jesus, if you are found as a worshiper, the Lord is happy. That to this kind of a woman, yes. This kind of a man, yes. This kind of a boy and girl, yes. God is recruiting worshipers for heaven. Can we sing that? Can we see that? And our dear brother was coming and, you know, let's all stand and turn to this song and sing. It's wonderful. The piano's going on. It's wonderful. It's praise God. Praise God. We're just like interns here for the true thing to come. And when we begin to worship God. Do you remember Hudson Taylor was a missionary to the China Inland Missions? He went to China and established a lot of churches and a lot of work. When he was old, I think it was his children or grandchildren or both, they decided to take grandpa or their dad back to China and show him some of the work that the Lord helped him to establish. And so they went. They went to a certain place and they had to settle because it was getting dark. They have to settle in a open dorm like this one entire one hall was there with wooden floors. It is very cold also in China, so it was wooden floors. And then everyone was asked to sleep here and there. Okay, you can take that corner. He can take this corner. They were sleeping there. They covered themselves, slept. Early in the morning, by about 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, I don't know the timing, but early in the morning, they could hear the creaking of the floor. Grandpa was up. Grandpa was up. Grandpa was up in that cold. And he lit a candle. And he was worshiping his God. And a statement is written. I give a disclaimer to the statement. I do not know where it is written, but definitely I've heard the statement that the sun never rose on China before Hudson Taylor met his God. The sun never rose on China before Hudson Taylor met his God. What a testimony, I thought, that blessed my heart. I've not been the perfect one. No, we are not. We are improving. The second point I want to make, first is, God is looking for worshipers. The second one is in Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. I want to read verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. The context is another thing. The wrath of God is coming. That's another thing. But if you take it as a general statement, if you take it as a statement that destruction is coming to our children, my family, my church, my community, my country. If destruction is coming, God is still looking for the one that could stand in the gap and be a prayer warrior. The one who would worship and one who would pray this morning. I need to be a prayer warrior. We always send this text saying that you need to pray, you need to pray, you need to pray, you need to pray. Please pray, please pray. Not just for problems, not just for people who are unwell. We can name it, name the person, name the disease, and ask for healing. Ask for healing. Ask that Lord will continue to minister to them. But that's not what it is. It is the destruction in general that is coming, and destruction in specific is coming to the body of Christ. It's coming. It's coming. It will come. Of course, the church will be raptured. We know that. And Israel will be saved. It is the apple of God's eye. Israel will be saved. God has not been not finished with Israel. If you read Romans 11, we know that. No, God is not finished with Israel. Israel will stay. But destructions are coming. Situations are bad. Satan is grabbing our children. I'm happy with the children who are homeschooling, but what about the children in public schools? Three graders, four, five, sixth graders. They have been taught by these drag queens and other things and dirty stuff that is going on in this country and going on. And you know, I don't know what to say. I want to say everything from this pulpit, because we are looking at God's word this morning. God is looking for true worshipers. God is looking for prayer warriors. Prayer warriors. Let us become prayer warriors. Let us become prayer warriors. I know you are. I know you are. The Bible says in Luke's Gospel chapter 11 and verse 1, after that he had finished praying in a certain place, the disciples came to him and said, teach us to pray. When they heard, when they saw Jesus, though not just the mode of prayer, but the answers that he receives to prayer, they were convinced that prayer is a very, very powerful weapon. There are six parts of the armor of God in Ephesians 6, but the seventh one is very important. With all, continue to pray. Prayer is a weapon that can penetrate the walls of any office, any place, any country. You are praying here. We are working in India. If you can be on your knees, we can be on our feet, so to say. And thank you for that. Thank you for that. A big thank you from India. So it's very, very nice. Very, very nice. It's good to plead. Plead. Stand in the gap. Plead. Among two girls and a boy, the two girls had one common room there. They were small. Then, one day one girl got mad with her mother, Asha. And she slammed the door. Have you heard of that? You are here, huh? Okay. Then I knocked on the door and said, don't close the door, don't bolt the door from inside, please. And sure, they did not close the, there's a small bolt in our thing. She didn't. Thank God. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, my wife and I, we stepped into the room and we knelt down by their bed, stretched our hands and said, Lord, do something. Do something. Only you can enter their hearts where we cannot. You know their difficulties. We cannot. Do something, Lord. That night was a battle. And in the morning, everything was okay. As she came out and everyone came out. Hi, Mama. Okay. Now I have to go. I have to go. I have to go quickly. Come on. What is there for breakfast? As though nothing had happened. Because God can make it possible when we pray. Okay. I have to watch the time also. All right. So, God is looking for worshipers, true worshipers, and then prayer warriors. Okay. When I talked about the aroma of worship, I am reminded also of the tabernacle. You know, in the tabernacle, if a priest went inside that day and he came home, they could tell that he had been to church because the incense filled his clothes, and they could smell the incense even when he came home. They could know that you have gone to, they have been to church. What is the incense that we have that people can identify us as the children of God? People of the book, people of worship, people of prayer. Let's go further. Mark's Gospel chapter 3. The third one is, Jesus is looking for people to be with him. To be with him. To be with him. Mark's Gospel chapter 3. I'll be reading verse 13 and 14. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained the 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Being is more powerful than doing. To be with him, that's the priority number one. Jesus says, if you're not with me, you're not with me, you can't do anything for me. Almost. They were with him 3.5 years. Fantastic. This is the enterprise. I will tell you why. Because have you heard of Microsoft? How many of you have heard of Microsoft? Let me see your hands. Okay. If you went to my country in a certain village and says, have you heard of Microsoft? What is he saying? Some in the village, in the village. I'm not talking of cities. Cities are good. High-tech cities are there. I'm talking of a village. I'm talking of a simple person. Simple person. Have you heard of Microsoft? And now I'll begin to speak my language. He said, Gotilla, Gotilla, that means I don't know. How many top executives or directors are there in Microsoft? Any guess? I've not done any Googling on that, but I'm just saying, just asking you, how many top people are there? Must be there. Just a number. Throw out a number. 100? 200? Maybe 500? Across the world. With 500 people and technology to its fore, to the fore, completely blasting the earth, and still somebody in the village do not know what Microsoft is all about. Okay? But there is an enterprise where Jesus took 11 men, not the 12, because the fellow died before Jesus died. Judas died before Jesus died. Took 11 men, 3.5 years, and prepared them in the upper room, and then let them loose. These are the top 11 of the directors of this enterprise, called the body of Christ, the church, the mission. And you go to the same woman or same man in a village in India and ask them, do you know about Jesus died on the cross? Yeah, I've heard of that. Now compare the high quality Microsoft and here poor fishermen who could do no nothing. With rough bare hands, Jesus did not choose them for who they were. Jesus chose them for who they would become in his hand in time. That's why I need to be near him, so that in time I can become what he wants me to be. Being with Jesus. I'm reminded just of another verse here in Acts chapter 4. Okay, the book of Acts chapter 4. I cannot turn my Bible very fast because it's all very old. Okay. In the first century, in the Jewish world, Peter and John, they're preaching their heart out and people are saying, tell them to stop it. They're not going to stop. They were bold. They were bold. Listen to this Bible verse in verse 13. Now when these people, that means when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. How do you get boldness? By being with Jesus. For me, a country that is being torn apart by persecution, the Christian church being torn apart by persecution, pastors being killed. I cannot describe you. I cannot show some of the videos that are just in my pocket here. You will not have the stomach to see that. You know, when I'm there in the front there, in the front line, I'm not the only one. Sanjeev is there, Karunakar is there, Wilson is there. All of you are there in your own front lines. You have your own front line. But being with Jesus, I think it was Martin Luther who said, I don't agree with everything that he's saying, but Martin Luther said, if I have a bunch of things to do during the day, first I will spend the first 2 or 3 hours with God's word. Someone has said very nicely like this. If you meet the king in the morning, it's no problem meeting his subjects during the day. It's wonderful. These are great statements. I take it to heart. I've not done it perfectly, but I take it to heart at least. And I begin to think deeply, Lord, make me that person. Make me that person. We have seen two, actually, we have seen three actually. One is God is looking for true worshipers. God is looking for praying people, prayer warriors. And Jesus is looking for people to stay with him. Abiding in the vine. Vine. Abiding in the vine. I don't know. I come from a science background, so the xylem and the phloem in the root system of the, I don't know how it works. And you know, it's fantastic. We receive and we have an exchange, fair exchange of the sap so that we can become like him. All right. I have 9 of them, but next time if you call me. All right, next time. Okay. But still, you know, I want to do just one more. Maybe just touch on this, on the other one also. But Matthew's Gospel chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel chapter 8. That'll be our next one. Matthew's Gospel chapter 8. And then I'll be reading verse 20. Verse 20. It's a very, very familiar passage. Okay. Okay. Not verse 20. I'm sorry. It says, okay. Now I don't want to spend some, maybe someone knows this. You know, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. Okay. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Okay. We'll look for that verse later, but let us go with this Bible verse saying that, you know, Jesus, when he saw this man, he says, you know, foxes have holes and then birds, the flying birds of the air have made nests, but the Son of Man does not have place to lay his head. In the heart of man, Jesus is looking for a place to lay his head. You know what is that meaning? The meaning is very simple. What do you use the head for? Thinking. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. If I allow him to lay his head in my life, he can think for me. He can plan for me. He can go ahead of me. Whether it could be even to ministry. We do not know how many people will get saved. Who will get saved? I go to India and preach the gospel. I do not know who will get saved. That's the beauty of it. You know what? Have you gone fishing? Have you guys, anyone gone fishing? Like you put a line and fish, right? If you saw a huge fish, you'll go after that fish, neglecting the small ones which could be caught. Thank God we don't see the fish. Thank God we don't see who will get saved. Because only to one person we'll start preaching. That happened once. I started preaching to the man who was making eye contact. I preached and preached and preached. I thought he will get saved in India. Then when the altar call was given, when later on he met me, he was drunk. That day the Lord slapped me and said, it's not your business to know who will get saved. You preach the word. You know your word and preach the word. With a burdened heart and prayerful heart, you preach the word. It's my business to save people. That's wonderful. So it's nice. Okay. So what does the Bible say here? It says, foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. I'll just read 2 more verses and then we'll close. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 15 says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The foxes and the small foxes have to be destroyed. Both foxes and small foxes, because these small foxes will grow into big foxes. Whether it's a small disturbance that you're having or I'm having in my family, in my this thing, let's catch them. Because it's time for fruition. It's time for fruition. Like, you know, like fruits are coming on the vine. When we are about to blossom and bear fruit for the Lord, it's the foxes that try to destroy. The Bible says, catch them. Catch them. And even the birds. I can give you the Bible verse for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 20. It says, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. When I think of this, it's something like gossip. When let's say Asha and I, we just are in our bedroom, discuss something. Maybe in the discussion, somebody else's name comes up, and we go ahead and do it. We go ahead and discuss it. The Bible says the bird of the air will pick it up, go tell it outside. Then we'll be in trouble. That means it's nothing but how the devil works. That's what it is said here. Only to teach us that the wings of the birds, you know, have a capacity to take the bird somewhere else. That's all. It means it goes helter-skelter all over the place. So we have seen these four things: true worshipers, prayer warriors, people who can be with Jesus, and people is looking a place in our heart to put his mind and head and lead us. The last one is Isaiah 6, when, you know, Isaiah sees the temple of God open. Isaiah sees the throne of God, and then he says, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I stay in a place where, you know, people are also having unclean lips. Woe is me. He says, you know, woe to me. In the previous chapter, six or seven times he had said, woe is that fellow, woe is this man, woe is that fellow and this one. He was saying complaints about others. But when he saw the glory of God, his life was revealed. And he says, woe is me. Then he began to declare how he was. Then the Lord cleansed him with a fire from the altar that the seraphim brought and touched his lips. And God says, now behold, you are clean. Who shall go for us? Whom shall I send? This is missions. This is missions. So God is looking for missionaries. You have been supporting one who is standing here. I'm not the best one. I can confess. Continue to pray. Continue to pray, please. As you are doing. Let's be true worshipers. Let's be prayer warriors. Let's begin to be with Christ. Let's give place for Jesus to put his head in our plans, in our ideas, in our future. Let's do it his way. Let's go out and reach the people with the gospel of Christ, which has the capacity to transform people. If you ask a Samaritan woman, she will tell. She will tell. When I reach heaven, I have a lot of questions to ask people how they were saved. When the Samaritan woman, I'm going to ask, you know, how it all began, how it all ended. Hemant, I'm here. She'll say, Hemant, I'm here. Because my Savior, the perfect Jew, decided to pass through Samaria. He's still passing around. He's going around. He wants me and you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Praise you and thank you for the blessings of your searching me and all of us. May I and my family, may I and, you know, all the people who are ministering there in India be found by you. May all the people here be found by you. May our families grow richly in you. We give you honor and praise for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.